Welcome to another episode of the Lisa Ann Experience with me, Lisa Ann, spending some time with you today. All of the things that you love, me telling you useless things that are going on in my life, which I love to share. I don't really know if anybody really likes them yet. Me having a friend come and read you the Ask Lisa Ann mailbag, which, yes, I know you love because I get so many comments. And I woke up heartbroken this morning, so there was no better way for me to mend my heart is to keep this conversation going in kind of the sports world. And let's just accept the fact that this is an unusual year, but it is no accepting of the fact that the Cowboys are absolutely awful. And if you reached for Zeke, you are just as heartbroken as I am. If you are a Cowboys fan, you saw Dak go down. Okay, that's awful, but everyone else is still standing. And we got Andy Dalton. What could go wrong? Even though I thought it was going to go wrong. I voted on many polls yesterday. I do not trust Andy Dalton. And now I feel like I jinxed my team by voting on those polls. I will not do it again. I'm incredibly sorry. I tried every superstition I had, but I think the highlight of my sports weekend was the first of a chain of emails from you, Chris, about fantasy football.
What a roller coaster of a weekend it's been for my fantasy team. So let me take the listeners through my last 24 hours. It was really just last night, right? So I needed Josh Allen and Clyde Edwards-Helaire to have a good night. I think I needed something like 26 points from them. No, I think I needed 30-something points from them. I needed both to have a good game. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire balling out. Wasn't getting the touchdowns, but was definitely getting the yardage. Phenomenal yep. game from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Josh Allen, not playing very good, but good enough for me to take the victory. Coming into the last play, Josh Allen, all I needed to do was to win was for Josh Allen not to throw a pick because I was up by one with, I guess it was a minute and a half left or a minute left. But I knew that that was going to be a bit of a risk because they were down by two scores, and I knew he was going to be flinging them. And sure enough, what happens? Josh Allen throws a pick. I end up losing by one. So I was pissed off.
Let me interrupt and just read the first email. I give up. I was up by one heading into the final 2 minutes of the Bills game. Then Josh Allen throws a pick, and I lose by one. This shit is so frustrating. We went back and forth in this email about – It's just mental masochism, I tell everyone. That's what fantasy football is.
Yeah, and so I didn't even watch the Dallas game. I checked out of football. I'm like, you know what? And I very, very, very rarely miss a game that's on TV. I don't think I've done it this season when I haven't had anything else on. But I thought, I'm not in the mood for football. I'm going for a run. I'm going to come back. I'm going to watch a movie. All right, that's my safe space is watching a movie.
I like that you usually go for a run before you watch a movie because your running is clearly you letting go of the anger.
Yep.
And then once you're relaxed, you can sit still and watch the movie.
Exactly. So that's what I did. And I was pissed off all night. And what happens this morning, you know how ESPN gave you that little notification.
Stat just correction.
Letting you know. But not even the stat correction. It says, you know, congratulations, you've won, or sorry, you've lost. Like, it's that little notification that says the result. I get my notification and it says you've won. And I had a look and I was 123.58 and my opponent 123.14. They had changed the score for the Ravens defense who I was playing against, which meant that I won. And I spent all of last night and all of this morning pissed off, not wanting to talk about fantasy football. And then I found out that I won.
And now the emotions that you were able to let go of, your league mate that just lost over a scoring correction, somebody needs to call and check on him, okay?
I have, and apparently he's taking it okay. He thought it was funny. So okay. He's a much better, he's a better loser than I am because I'm a sore loser. Josh Allen threw that pick last night, my fiance yelled at me because I threw the remote and just stormed upstairs to email you. That's what I did.
We go through this. It's torturous. The reason I started playing fantasy and getting really into it was because the Cowboys were so inconsistent. And then, you know, so you have some balance, right? But then a standalone game on a Monday night, game two, Dallas Cowboys just go out there. Zeke's got butterfingers. Like, I don't know what the deal is. He's dropping everything. He's just not even there. Tony Pollard comes in and I'm like, oh my gosh, are they going to bench Zeke for the whole game? And every fantasy owner that has Zeke is getting no points. Even the game before, I needed like 10 points from Tyreek Hill. I only got 5. But that's what fantasy sports do to you. They change how you watch the game, how you feel about the game. You'll forget the end score of the game, but you'll remember how many fantasy points the individual player gave you.
Absolutely. And you're speaking about Ezekiel Elliott and how he's been disappointing fantasy owners. Look who won it one, though. Christian McCaffrey, been out for, a month now? Yeah. And look at who probably went 3 in most drafts. Saquon Barkley got injured in the second or third game. Yeah. So,
but Zeke's not one of my competitors. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a rookie and he's running all over the field. And he's elusive, man. His center of gravity is intense. The way he can spin and pivot and still get just like 2 more yards. I mean, that's footwork. I look at a good running back like that. And I admire the fact that how do you slow your brain down from knowing huge dudes are charging at you at full speed to knock you down, yet you want to still stay on your feet for another, 2 or 3 yards. It's incredibly impressive.
It's phenomenal. He just didn't get the red zone touches this week. That was the thing. He'd be going on runs.
That's his weak
7, 8, 9 yards per carry all the way down the field. Then they get to the 20, get to the 25, and they bring in Williams or they bring in someone else. And that's kind of frustrating. We don't know what's going to happen next week onwards either because they got Le'Veon Bell coming into the team.
I will tell you what's going to happen. Le'Veon Bell is going to get that end zone work. And it's not a knock against CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's not a knock against him. He's a rookie. This is a weakness of his. He is not good in the red zone yet. It doesn't mean they can't work on it. But now that they have someone that they can utilize being Lev Bell in that situation, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has the opportunity to learn, to improve. You know, Andy Reid can work with him. This is a young back and he's excelling on so many levels. But it's going to be tumultuous for fantasy owners because they're going to be mad to see Lev Bell go in there at the 7-yard line and just be gobbling up all those points by getting the touchdowns when, you know, it's kind of like somebody does the dishes, washes and dries them, and you get to put them away. I mean, the putting away job is like the easiest job. You know what I mean? The putting away job? So that's what Lev will be. He'll be putting the dishes away, and we will be excited. And now we are at a World Series in Major League Baseball, which I just didn't know if it was going to happen. Who are you rooting for, Chris?
I'm a Giants fan, so I have to root against the Dodgers. Whoever the Dodgers are playing against, I want to root for. So for the next week and a bit, I'm going to be a Tampa Bay fan through and through.
You may need to go onto their roster to find out who their players are when you jump into this madness. Their pitching depth is remarkable, and especially right now, the Dodgers' big concern. We know Kershaw was out last week dealing with some back spasms. That's not a conversation you want to be having when you're facing the Tampa Bay Rays backup. This is just their depth at pitching. I am going to go for the Dodgers because I got to do a tour at Dodgers Stadium last year. That was really awesome. The stadium was closed, so you get to go underground and look at all of the trophies. And, nice. And it's just, there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of stories of why the stands are different colors, the way the sun sets and faces the stadium. So I think I'll repost that on my YouTube this week to get everybody excited and on my team rooting for those Dodgers. But it's all about sports right now, and I'm already missing basketball, but excited about the World Series and all of this football. And so I find myself gravitating to my favorite follows on social media that are always talking sports too, especially people who can lift me up when my spirits are absolutely crushed by my Dallas Cowboys. And that is who I'm going to bring to you today. I'm going to bring to you a guest who I absolutely love following on social media, sports writer and journalist. His name is Antoine Staley, and you can follow him on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to see what I'm talking about, at Antoine Staley. Antoine, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, it's your timeline. You're so well-versed in sports. You also have a great sense of humor, and you have a true, true love for chicken wings.
I do.
Let's get into a little conversation about the sides that come with chicken wings, because I saw you responding to a tweet last week that somebody said, or it's the ranch or the blue cheese, that places treat it like liquid gold and they charge you an absorbent amount and it should come with endless supply of whatever you want to dip your chicken wings into. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I feel like, well, they give you this small container ranch or blue cheese, which is never really enough because you usually get 10 or 15 or whatever
right?
it may be. But yeah, so you have to order more. And then they charge you some places like $2 or $3, which I think
each
is absurd.
One?
Yeah, well, yeah, each container, yeah.
Wow.
Which I think is absurd. Whereas you can just buy a bottle or something from the store and it's the same price.
Right, for like probably $2 or $3. But this is a huge issue now. We know all about the NBA bubble, and Lou Williams also has a love for wings, and not just a love for wings, but a love for wings at a specific spot that actually named wings after him, the Sweet Lou's. Have you had the Sweet Lou wings at the Magic Kingdom?
I wish I could. I think I may have to go now just to try those wings because they're so famous. They made them go out of the bubble just to get them. So
yeah,
I definitely may have to venture out and try that.
I think, you know, like Diners, Drives, and Drive-Thrus, like I think all of these shows should know go there and try these wings because Lou really justified leaving the bubble for how specific his love is for these wings. Like they're that good. I had suggested that they fly the chef down and have him make those wings for everybody in the bubble, but that was not heard.
Ah, man, I think that would have been great if they had been able to do that.
So our common ground is sports, and I know that you were raised by your mom and your grandmother, so you were in a house on an island alone. At what age did you start discovering sports? What sport did you fall in love with first, and how did you make this your actual journey in life?
Well, I think, it's funny. Like you said, I kind of grew up around women. My aunt was in there for a little bit later on, and then later my sister came, who's 11 years younger than me. So, yeah, I just always been surrounded by women. And for me, I kind of started watching sports about 3 or 4 years old. Started out with baseball. I remember the Atlanta Braves used to come on TBS regularly every single night. If you're around the same age, in your 30s, late 20s, yeah, you can kind of remember that. And for me, yeah, I just started watching baseball, and then they kind of gravitated to other sports. They went to football and then basketball and hockey, and pretty much I watch just about everything now. But yeah, I think that's what it started there, just as a young child, just my love for sports. And then eventually, like, it went into, well, how could I make this a career? I wasn't necessarily good enough to play sports, but I figured, you know, let me try to see if I can try to do something that I love doing. And that's kind of manifested into becoming a sports writer, which I'm still kind of fascinated and tickled that I'm doing this for a living.
Yeah, you must be. I mean, the expression, do something you love and you never go to work a day in your life, is actually really true for you. At what point did you start to pursue it? And how do you get to that first step? You know, for me, it was a little bit different. I had already had a show with SiriusXM on another channel, and I was introduced through my producer to my now boss. But for you, you had to navigate this in a different way. And I'm so curious to know how you got your first gig covering sports.
Well, I mean, just writing in general. I started out at college. I went to undergrad at East Carolina University before I had a master's at Syracuse and all that. But yeah, I definitely started out there writing. It wasn't necessarily about sports writing, man, because I knew I was eventually going to be a sports writer. I just wanted to get the foundation of how to write. And it started out there just doing little quirky stories or whatever the case may be. But also while I was in college, I would also help the sports department on the weekends for football games, basketball, and just kind of meeting people along the way. And then eventually, about 2012, I ended up moving down to South Florida and started covering the Miami Dolphins. And I did that for 6 years. And that's kind of the first time that I covered sports. It wasn't necessarily a college team. I did some high school football, but yeah, I really got my start in covering the NFL, which is very rare in this business, if anybody knows.
Now I'm going to go back to when you were at college. You helped out the college program with their sports stuff. Now, how different is the environment in college sports to you as opposed to pro sports?
Well, college is more controlled environment. They can control when the players talk, when the coaches talk. NFL is a little bit more relaxed, and they kind of let the players, if they want to talk, they can. If not, then they don't have to. Coaches are a little bit more friendly. You have more access. So that's kind of what it is. The more you gravitate towards each level, you get more and more access. With college, some colleges do let you have some kind of access to the players and coaches, but it's never like how it is in NFL. And then, of course, high school is a little bit more limited because of going to school throughout the day and set hours and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely It's definitely different. I love doing both, but yeah, it's definitely a little bit more controlled in the college sports environment.
So it had to be pretty exciting when you left the college sports environment and now you're covering the Miami Dolphins and you're seeing what it's like to have more access. You get that familiarity, right? You get to know people. That had to be like, oh, this can get even cooler.
Yeah. I was kind of like, I didn't know exactly what to do because that was my first time covering pro sports. So I kind of had to learn on the go how to do things and how to just go up and get interviews and talk to players on your own. Whereas in college, they kind of feed you who they want you to talk to each day. Whereas in NFL, you're in a locker room full of men that are naked at times. And you just kind of like, whoa, okay. Yeah, I didn't need to see that, but you know, it was kind of what it is. Eventually, yeah. You just got to get over it.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a rude awakening at first, but yeah, it was definitely, something different when you first start covering it.
Yeah, because there's no way that you want to have your moment and you want to say to a player, hey, would you mind putting a towel on? I'm a little bit uncomfortable right now, or get dressed. The guy wants to talk to you. You're like, I got 3 minutes right now to maybe get something good right here. I'm going to just keep my head up and do it. I usually
let say, well, you know, let you get dressed, put some shorts on, and then we'll talk. Then that's going to be what I do. Like I usually give them time to do all that because I feel like I want them kind of invading their space in that regard too as well. Because
yeah, you don't want somebody talking to you when you get out of the shower, do you, Antoine? No,
not that type of person. I don't.
Right out of the shower, Kurt. Hey, so I got a couple questions for you about today's practice. Let's talk about it. You're like, yeah, I need to put on my face lotion. I need to get myself dressed. Exactly. And I'll be able to take care of you on that. Now you are finding yourself back down. Something about you and covering sports in Florida. There's something there. There is just something there, Antoine, because now you are covering FSU. You just landed a new deal and you're covering the FSU sports program. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I just got just started out there. This is really my second day doing it, covering football program, and I'll be doing basketball, some other sports there too as well. But basically, we're still in football season. They just had a big win over North Carolina over the weekend, so everybody's excited down there about the possibility of the team getting better and really having a better season than what they thought they would. But so yeah, it's definitely really good times down there, and yeah, I'm definitely excited about the opportunity. And well, we'll see where this lands me in the future.
Yeah, because right now is kind of the perfect time. You don't have to live right there because you're not going to be in person in any of these interviews, right? Everything is being conducted currently on Zoom, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like this is the way of life, the way we're in right now. Everything's just conducted there. We go to games. The interviews are on Zoom. And yeah, it's just a virtual world that we're living in. And I don't know exactly when we're going to get past it, but it's definitely going to be some time before we do in-person interviews again.
And it's not the same. I mean, you know, just from being able to see with your own eyes what players look like at practice, what they're going to look like at camp, you know, what they're going to look like in a game, very different than watching everything and then talking to them on Zoom, because you don't get that connection. Like somebody is more likely to remember you in person than they are in Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. They remember your name, they remember your face, whereas you're seeing somebody on the computer screen, or sometimes the players and coaches can't even see the person who's talking to them. They just hear their voice. So at least that way, when they see you, they can they can interact with you and say, hey, that's Antoine, or that's such and such, or whatever, kind of like that, and just form that relationship. It's kind of hard to do that on Zoom and also the internet in general.
You should get shirts made that are written backwards that say, hi, I'm Antoine, and just wear them in every Zoom. It'll just be embedded in their mind. And then when they see you in person, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I know you.
I actually do have a shirt like that that has like a blue verified check mark. So yeah.
That's great. So what was your sports writing and your education that really led you to be great with your information, but also so engaging on social media, which can be a full-time job? So as you keep up with that, you also do play a little fantasy football.
Yeah, I do. I actually lost last night. The Cowboys-Cardinals game was really, it was coming down to the wire because Kyler Murray ended up scoring me like 30-something points fantasy and almost caught up to the guy, and I lost by a point or whatever the case may be, because he had Ezekiel Elliott, who didn't have a good night. He had like a 20-something point lead going into Monday Night Football, but because Ezekiel Elliott had such a bad night, I was able, I almost called him right there at the end, but I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, he would have lost those points for all of Zeke's fumbles, so that doesn't help, right? All that adds up. Fantasy is just so just incredibly torturous this way, right? And that game last night, can you tell me, can you explain to me? Because we cannot, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, I can't blame this on Andy Dalton. You know, I'm looking at Zeke's clothing. He's wearing these loose-fitting, loose shirts. I'm wondering if it's hurting his grip on the ball. I'm wondering, like, what it is that's different. I mean, we went into last night's game. He already had three fumbles on the season. He hasn't had three fumbles this early in the season in 3 years. So this is concerning, and you can't blame it on the missing element, which is Dak. I understand that he is a leader in the locker room. But, I mean, come on, guys. You got a ton of talent, and this is what you have to do to succeed. And Andy Dalton's been there before. What's the cause of this? Is it the adjusting to McCarthy? Is it everything that's really bringing the Cowboys to this pitiful state?
I think it's a lot of different things, too. I think they're having four offensive linemen out. That certainly doesn't help, too. And Zach Martin got hurt last night. So that really that's another blow to their offensive line there. Yeah, I thought Ezekiel Elliott was primed to have a big year. I mean, I thought he had a really good year last year, but some people thought it was a down year for his standards because he's led the rushing three out of the first 4 years he was in the league. So I expected a really good year. That it hasn't happened for whatever reason. He's really taking a step backwards there. He's a guy that never really fumbled, not even in college. He was always secure with the ball, and all of a sudden he's fumbled twice in the game. This is unheard of.
He also doesn't seem to be up to pace. I mean, last night you saw that one quick throw go to him, and he kind of was ahead of it, kind of turned around and made a really like lame effort to maybe get it. It looked like he was like, you know, you're dropping something and you decide maybe I'll try and pick it up, or I'll just let it fall. That's what he looked like. So he doesn't look as invested. Now, I haven't been relying on Zeke as much this year because of the line issues that they have. Our defense is so bad. You're looking at the receivers, and even they couldn't get it done. I mean, we just let Arizona just rob us. I mean, it was hard because it was a standalone game. Yeah. If my team is going to suck, Antoine, I want other options to watch because now I'm in the zone. I want to watch some football, but I will admit I turned it off in the fourth quarter and sulked and went to bed.
I don't blame you at all. All the reason I was watching it because of fantasy implications. That was it. I wanted to see if Kyler Murray would go for another touchdown, what I needed, but they just kind of ran the ball there. But, yeah, it was – the game was over like midway through the third quarter. I think when Murray threw that touchdown to Christian Kirk, that really put the – they tried to seal the deal there.
That was the kibosh. So, yeah. That was just the kibosh. So, who's your football team?
I grew up – in North Carolina. I know a lot of people would think I'm a Panthers fan, but I actually started watching football before the Panthers came in 95. So I actually grew up back then they were in Los Angeles, believe it or not, the Raiders. They grew up a Raider fan, and then they moved from LA, then back to Oakland, and now they're in Las Vegas. So yeah, kind of.
And that stadium looks epic.
Yeah, I really want to visit there. If things fall right, maybe covering them one day. But yeah, I actually grew up a Raider fan.
So you could be out west in the dry heat instead of the humid heat that you're used to in Southern Florida.
Yeah, I know.
We're looking at the World Series now, and I know we talked a bit about baseball, and you don't play fantasy baseball. It is a commitment. I understand that. I do it. It is absolutely torturous. But you are a Red Sox fan. So who do you root for in this upcoming World Series, Antoine?
I love Mookie Betts. I hated the Red Sox had to trade him. It seems like they couldn't come together on a long-term deal. But I still want to root for him. I still hope he does well. He had a really good season, and he's really showcasing his talent throughout the playoffs. So I'm kind of rooting for the Dodgers. It's been a long time since they won a World Series, 32 years. So I kind of hope they get it done. But Tampa Bay is going to be a tough out too as well. They have a great pitch in there. Really
they do
scrappy
have great
game.
Pitching.
Defense yep. is really good. So I'm just hoping for a really long series. That's really the base case scenario for me.
Did you think that the MLB season was going to get to where we are right now with what we're dealing with in the world with COVID? Because it didn't start out well. Let's mention the Miami Marlins right there. The season did not start out well, kind of like the NFL. Did you think we'd get here and be looking at the World Series to add in to get to watch during football?
Absolutely not. I think once they epidemic started to hit the team, I thought, oh, wow, this might be the end of baseball. People were calling, saying, well, it's not going to work. And then the Philly situation happened. So, yeah, I was really nervous that even though it was 60 games, I didn't think it was going to happen. But somehow it ended up working. And crazy enough, the Marlins made the playoffs. I don't know how that happened. But, yeah, I mean, it worked somehow. The NFL is kind of in the same way right now, in the same boat, whereas you're getting all these cases that are starting to happen for teams. And you don't necessarily know what's going to happen when teams have already had their bye week. And
right.
So I'm just kind of hoping that somehow they can kind of get through it. It seems like they might have to add an extra week to the season just in case something like this happens. Because you know it's probably going to happen, especially when the colder weather starts to come around sure. the country.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think at this point you and I, Antoine, would complain about an extra week or two of football. This whole year has been unorganized in the sports world for us. Like normally I know like what season it is and what's going on by what sport is playing, right? You migrate from baseball, basketball, football, and then it was kind of like all at one time. It was so much. So give me an extra week. I'm fine with that because we're not going to get the NBA back until early next year.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing with hockey. It seems like there too as well. So, yeah, that's pretty much what we have. I'll watch bad football. I mean, we got the Eagles and the Giants coming up on Thursday. Yeah, I'll sit there and watch it. Both of those teams have one win. Okay, sign me up. It's even bad football is still football. So I'm all about that.
You and I were tweeting during the Eagles play this past weekend. And I will say this. I mean, Carson Wentz's first half was a totally different experience than Carson Wentz's second half. I was up against him in a fantasy team, and at one point I looked over, he had -2 points. I was like, if he can keep this up, I can win this matchup, right? And then out of nowhere, all of a sudden things start happening, players start coming out. We're seeing a lot of depth this season, which I think is interesting. We're learning. We're getting introduced to players that maybe we would have met during the preseason. But now that we didn't have preseason, we didn't get to see these rookies go out or these new additions to teams go out. So you're looking at something and saying it's every game is totally a wait and see. And that's what I feel with the Eagles. Yeah, this is going to be like a watching paint dry game, but you're going to watch it and you're going to enjoy it. And you're probably going to set a DFS lineup or maybe make some betting picks. I will say this, my picks for Bovada this weekend, Antoine, you know, when you make picks and you put them on social media, you feel like they're branded in the internet. Some days are good. Some days are not good. And so it was what I just, you know, part of me was thinking Cam Newton may be a little lackluster because he's recovered from COVID, right? But then the way they bring these players in and out, I'm thinking maybe it's not that serious. The Patriots are not going to lose in this situation. And oh my, it was not a good day for Cam Newton or my Julian Edelman shares. So that was another game where I watched was like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah. I try to avoid Patriots on fantasy because they tend to have a great game. And then the next game, you really don't hear much from them. But yeah, I do have a couple of them on there. I had a feeling they might happen just because they came out. It was so rusty. Yeah. They were supposed to play the Broncos a few times. They ended up getting pushed back. And they really didn't have a bye week when they should have. And yeah it was you could just tell that they didn't necessarily game plan that way that they were supposed to. They just kind of, it seemed like they kind of just waned it and considering everything that happened and they were against a bad team. And I mean, hey, you have games like that where you just pull out a stinker against a bad team you should have won. And the Broncos, luckily they have a great kicker in Brandon Manannis. That was really their offense the entire game. But it was enough.
So I've got you as a Raiders fan, a Red Sox fan. Who has your heart in the NBA?
I grew up in North Carolina again, so I like the Hornets, but I don't know why I stay dedicated to the Charlotte Hornets other than home loyalty. But yeah,
I mean, you know, it's a great arena. I've been there. It's a great arena. But
yeah,
listen,
I love Charlotte.
But we're talking about loyalty. I went and binge ate two huge massive slices of pizza during halftime yesterday out of my loyalty to the Dallas Cowboys. I thought if I binge eat, I'll feel better. And then I do superstitious stuff, Antoine. I unloaded my dishwasher and took a shower. This was all during halftime, okay? Like all during this short period of time, I'm rushing around because in my mind, I feel maybe I can change the energy of this game.
Yeah, I've known people that have done that. people that they'll go change clothes just so they think their team could possibly come back and win. And I guess sometimes crazy enough it happens, so they keep doing that over and over again. I guess the way you're laughing, I get the sense you've probably done that too as well.
I don't know why I think the shower works. It's like usually I just feel like I'm cleansing just all the bad off of me. I put on my favorite silk pajamas. You know, I like have this whole theory. It has worked, but it did not work last night. And now I'm afraid to try it again. If they play this bad, the Cowboys will just have absolutely no hope. The NBA bubble was a great experiment. And I, you know, what an awesome event for the writers. So not many journalists got to go into the bubble. And I can only imagine what the experience was like. There was Malika Andrews was there from ESPN, and she was there at the very beginning. You know, they did a 10-day quarantine for everybody where they had to pass so many tests. It was really cool seeing her give updates on ESPN from inside her hotel room, because at that time they weren't able to leave. How would you be if someone asked you to go away for, oh, they were almost in the bubble for 100 days, for her even a little longer. How would you feel if someone said to you, we got this gig, but you're going to have to be isolated for 100 days. Could you do it?
Yeah, I probably could. I actually spoke with some of the writers there. I know Mark Spears works for ESPN. He was telling us, he was talking to a number of guys, telling us exactly what he had to go through every single day, where he got up, got tested, would get his results through his phone, make sure he was clear. And then food service, they would end up giving them pretty much all the time. It was a lot of times it wasn't necessarily good food, but they were eating and they didn't have to pay. And then he just stayed at a hotel. Some reporters stayed at a better hotel than others, some 5 stars, some like 3 or 4 stars.
Right.
So yeah, he was just kind of going through telling us exactly what it was. But yeah, I mean, you're still working, you're still covering sports. So yeah, I definitely would be able to do it there. Would it be ideal, like going on the road and covering a team in the NBA normally? No. But at the same time, I think it'd be a lot of fun, especially when you know you're inside a bubble and everybody is also safe, just as safe as you are, because they're being tested regularly, as opposed the alternative where you may not know who's has COVID or who's tested, or, you know, it's a little bit more frightening. Whereas in that situation, I feel like it's a lot more safe. And that's kind of what he was getting at when we spoke to him.
You know, when I was watching teams get sent home, I was wondering if they had any anxiety about being outside of the bubble. Imagine you've been in this preserved situation where, you know, everyone around you is tested. You know, everything is great, right? And then you go back out into the world, right? And nobody is testing you every day. I mean, there had to be a lot of levels of emotion. I hope that players journaled. I mean, I know you were following the NBA Bubble Life Twitter, which I thought was so awesome. You know, I'm sure some players really did journal, and even the reporters, you know, keeping a journal. This is an experience. I would buy a book tomorrow from the first journalist that just tells me everything they did all day in the bubble, because from the outside looking in, you're around the same people, which, yes, can get old, but you're all networking. You're all there for the same purpose. And I just think it'd be kind of cool to forget about the entire world and just dive into this one thing, especially because my first love is the NBA. You love the NFL first. I love the NBA first. So to be just submerged in that, think about it. You're not getting your mail, any of your headaches. So if you don't have to do chores, your laundry is being picked up, like, the food might not be good, but you're also not doing any dishes. So like, you know, there's this give and take of like the convenience of it, just an experience, and also to potentially, you know, be a part of what Adam Silver believes in, because I think you and I agree, he's incredibly brilliant. And what he did to, you know, the way they built that arena, the first day I saw the courts and saw the virtual fans, and I was like, I was into it. How about you? Did it take you by surprise at first, or did you fall into it like I did?
No, I think Adam Silver is, you have some people that are proactive or reactive. He's very proactive. He didn't necessarily wait for people to put pressure on him. He did the right thing, whereas I feel like other commissioners in sports, whether you talk about Roger Goodell or maybe the NHL, they felt pressured to have to make some kind of changes, where Adam Silver would say, you know what, we're going to get out in front of it. We're going to do this. We're going to let the players have a voice. You want to have a message on the back of the jerseys. That's cool. And I thought that was a great message by him. So yeah, I definitely commend him for doing that. And it didn't surprise me at all, because to me, he's the best out of the major four sports by far. He's the best commissioner out of all of them.
I completely agree with you. I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah, and everybody else just kind of jockeying for second place. But yeah, he's by far the best out of all of them.
Also, you know, the whole campaign, you know, the NBA ball dancing around, bouncing around Disney. Like, I just was so awestruck by how he silently worked and got this done. The entertainment value was there. The messages on the jersey, the messages on the court, the just involvement and just what we got out of it. And let's face it, I know for me, there was no more watching TV or news once we got all these sports back at one time, because nothing really mattered. Now I could be talking, tweeting, and watching. And so I felt like it was a great pacifier in a very unusual time.
Yeah, I definitely did. It was much needed. Especially in this moment that everything that's going on, whether you talk about COVID or things, social injustices in this country and everything like that, I feel like we needed this moment, and the NBA needed this platform to create, also get those messages out and say this is wrong. And yeah, I'm sure it's offended some people, fans or whatever the case may be, but not everybody, I mean, if it offended them, then, you know, kind of like, so what? But, you know, this is the messages that need to get across. And sometimes it may be uncomfortable for some people, but at the same time, just think about some of the negative things that people have heard that have been uncomfortable to them. So,
yeah
you just kind of have to put it in that perspective.
I completely agree with you. During this last bit of downtime, what have you thought about? Like, is there a sporting event that you say to yourself, once the world gets back out and about, I am definitely going to go to this sporting event? What have you missed the most?
Baseball. Just going to baseball games. I really miss that, because normally once football is over and I have some downtown, I usually go out to a few baseball stadiums each year and checking out some games, whether it be Camden Yards, or I wanted to go see the Red Sox this year, and maybe make my way to a few ballparks I haven't seen. So, yeah, that's really what I missed this year, just going out to a ballpark, just, you know, even though it might be 90 degrees out there, but I'm still kind of enjoying it regardless. But, yeah, I really missed that this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. Going to baseball games is just such a great pastime. It is the only reason I will get on the train in the city, is to go to Citi Field and see my Mets. Do not make fun of me for being a Mets fan. It's not easy.
Well, my grandmother's a Mets fan, so, yeah, I definitely understand that. So I have a special place for them.
And you know what? Citi Field is just a great ballpark. It has that. You know, PNC in Pittsburgh is my favorite. I just love the sports vibe when you enter the city of Pittsburgh. Yeah. Through the tunnel, you see the football stadium, the baseball stadium, and just, I really like that city for sports-wise. But, you know, when I went to Yankee Stadium, I just didn't feel that same baseball vibe at the new stadium that I feel at Citi Field.
Yeah, I think the old Yankee Stadium probably had it. But, yeah, Citi Field is really nice. My favorite is the park in San Francisco.
Right, with the water, the fact that people can watch the games on boats, like, that's pretty epic. Well, Antoine, it was so wonderful to see you in person after we've chatted for quite some time now on social media. You and I both talking a lot about our picks at Bovada, really getting in, like, you know, betting can be as heartbreaking as fantasy football, if not more.
Yes it can.
You feel that, right?
Yeah, I definitely feel that pain when you said that. So yeah.
You see an injury and you're like, it's never going to go over now, and the whole rest of the game I'm going to be counting points at halftime, doing the math. I look forward to continuing this relationship and chatting with you and learning from you. Everyone can follow you at Antoine Staley on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and find your work covering FSU. Anything you want to add in there, Antoine?
No, that sums it up right there. Just pretty much follow me on Twitter and, you know, get out my tweets and all my work there. So, yeah, it was good to be on with you. I really hope we can do it again soon.
We sure will. And thank you so much, and continued success to you. I'll be reading all of your work as I always do. Have a great rest of your day, Antoine.
Bye. Thank you.
Man, it is always great to have a conversation with someone that loves sports as much as I do. And you could just see it in his writing, which is why I secretly followed him, a long time ago, and continued to like his post. And then we had a couple in-game conversations by direct message. See, these are all things that nobody knows I do because I don't advertise it, because then I'll be getting the same things that you hear, that you're going to hear in the very near future in that Ask Lisa Ann segment. I'll be reading those in my DMs. I like people to believe I do not use my DMs, but I do. But I use them by choice. And I use them when I want to talk smack or I want to have a deep conversation about a game that is happening right now. And I don't want anyone else to see my opinion on my main timeline. So this is how I built this relationship. And Antoine is just a joy to follow. Please give him a follow within Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. All the same, Antoine Staley. And this brings us to what y'all have been waiting for. The mailbag segment. Do you understand what it takes for me to go through these emails, Chris?
I assume a lot.
So I have all these folders in that email account. One is stalkers in all caps. Like, these are people that I don't delete their emails, but I continue to file them in case I'm ever missing. You will need to hack into that account and look at those guys. And then there's like weird questions. And then I have like these, them all categorized. So I have a couple of weeks in advance ready. And then I star them once they're used and I move them into the used folder, which is actually fun to go back and read as well. But there's just a lot of nonsense. There's a lot of stuff that I kind of need a little decoder ring because the grammar is awful. The spelling is incredibly bad. And then also a lot of times the question comes in the subject and the body of the email is blank. It's exhausting. Like, I go in there for an hour and I'm like, okay, I found two good questions, but I will give a shout out to all of my people who have asked some cool things lately, getting to know me a bit more, because this is your chance to interview me. You get to ask me a question. If you sat down on a one-on-one, what would you ask? And that's what you do with asklisaann@gmail.com. And today again, for another visit, because he was so spectacular, my friend, Dustin Sweetelson from SiriusXM, you and I and Dustin are going to have some fun, some laughs, and keep this all going for you with the mailbag. Let's go.
All right. Next one's from Brian. Although travel is not normal right now, which state have you never been to and what would you want to visit while there? I know you enjoy your trips.
So this is from my friend Brian. And I got to tell you, Swede, last year I knocked my last state off in the entire United States, and that was Alaska. And wow, it was the greatest skiing I've ever done. The prettiest state. You have to go in the winter. I went in February. One of my best friends went in July. His pictures sucked because there was no snow-capped mountains everywhere. I mean, everywhere you look in Alaska looks like a postcard, right? It's just gorgeous. Took the train all the way from Fairbanks to Anchorage, which is like a 12-hour ride. Conductor was super cool. You stop in these little cities. You get out and stop for lunch. Did dog sledding. Did a helicopter ride to a glacier that's now split in two. It was one last year. Just did everything, but the best powder skiing ever. So, Brian, I've knocked all of the states off. When it comes to other countries, Portugal was on my list for this year. Portugal is somewhere I really want to visit. So that will be on my future travel list. I want to visit Portugal, some beautiful old structures and some of the oldest churches in the world, which I love to photograph when I'm traveling.
Wow. So you've hit all 50 states.
Yeah, baby. Remember, when I first got on the road, they wouldn't pay for our airfare, right? When you were a nobody, this is what your agent did. He's like, we'll give you $250 for you to get from like Pittsburgh to San Fran, make it work. I was traveling with a roadie. I had a Bronco SUV where we were like OJ, but it was tan. And we drove that bitch around. So we ended up staying on the road for like 4 or 5 months at a time because it was easier than trying to go back. Plus, yeah, then when you were making no money, the clubs would have you there from Monday to Saturday because they could raise the door price and you were getting like $100 a show. So you'd say, once you raise your rate, then they start only having you like Wednesday through Saturday, then Thursday through Saturday, which is way better. But we couldn't get home. So I got to see a lot of the U.S. from those road trips. And then as a kid, I traveled with my grandparents over the summers who had a traveling greeting card business. My grandfather was the artist.
also the distributor. And my grandmother and him would pack up the motorhome and me with my bike on the back. And we would go all through the South, all through Florida, all through the States. And I got to do that my summers with them and then go to Canada and see their families. So I traveled a lot when I was young and was really inspired to travel more as an adult.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. The U.S. though, you eat meals off the side of the road. Like you're driving down South. You see some guy with the pit bird on the side of the road. You're like, I don't know what's in there, but let's eat it. It's fun. All right. Next up.
Let's do it. All right. This one, I like how this one has its own email address, doesn't have a name, very anonymous. How do you balance being a retired adult film star and pursuing your obvious other passions?
You know, this is interesting because when you change jobs, you don't really go back and balance too much with your old job. But it reminds me of how people don't feel porn stars can ever have a second act, right? Where do they all go? You know, what happens to them? Well, let's face it, because of the internet, there's thousands of girls entering the business on a non-COVID year every year. And those girls are going to land places and they're going to have secondary careers. What's also cool is, Dustin, the whole world, including you, you know about OnlyFans and all these applications that we have now to work with. I'm able to recycle all of the content that I produced over 25, 30 years that I own and put it up onto OnlyFans because, you know, porn is not time sensitive. Like most of these guys don't know whether it was 10 years ago, a year ago, but it's the fact that I get to scroll through. I write blurbs. So like for like 45 minutes to an hour every day, I dive back into my old world. And it's so fun for that 45 minutes to an hour because I think about all the weird things that happened that day, what the location was like. I can usually picture like the location owner and I have all these memories, my outfit, my everything. So I'm kind of getting to relive that. And it's just this little fairy tale that more than ever, I am so glad that I took the adventure that I did. Because as we were all sitting still during quarantine, I was the one person that was not saying, God, I wish I had more sex. I was one person saying, yo, I got hard drives and hard drives. I can watch myself and flash back through this. And all you motherfuckers that held back, you are living in regret. Guess what? I have no regrets, okay? I'm good. I can just go put in one of my top 10 scenes and be like, oh, yeah, that happened. Okay, I'm good.
That's the thing. Like, you know, musicians have their greatest hits albums. There's no reason why you shouldn't have your greatest hits videos and like release them. I was even thinking like you should do I don't know if it's a podcast, what it would be, but it's like Mystery Science Theater where you go rewatch your scenes and you give, you know, play by play and commentary on the side and little tidbits about, like you were just saying, what the day was like.
Yeah, like the guy that got the flat tire on the way to set. We weren't sure if he was going to make it. Another guy decided to get a juicy and he left his bag in the Uber and the Uber ran off with his bag. Then he shows up. He doesn't have ID. I can't shoot him. Like there's so many things that go through my mind when I'm putting these scenes up. When everyone else is just masked. A little fun fact about OnlyFans. You know, that whole Bella Thorne thing happened and it kind of combusted. I've been trying to reach out to her because I'd love to have her on my podcast to see what her concept was about doing this. But since that, they've added a chargeback feature. So now guys get to watch your content, download shit, steal it, and then they go to their credit card and you get charged back. So every month now, since that brand new thing just lands, chargebacks, I'm like, since when did porn become refundable? I mean, this is tragic.
I'm waiting for them to offer like a la carte things. Like, hey, you don't have to subscribe for the whole month, but for a quarter of the price, you can get this video.
Well, you know, there's some like VOD platforms where you can just kind of watch 3 minutes of something and you could just say, I want the last 3 minutes. And you could just
There you go. I'm good.
Now, this last question is a question that we really have a lot to talk about. This is a really great question.
Yeah. So this one comes from, what a name, Tomas. Like, you're already too classy to be sending this email with that name, but let's go. Hi, Lisa. This question is in two parts and requires some background. For a while, I have been praying to God that he gives me two things. Number one, the power to take a woman out of the porn industry as a wife. It's a very specific genre he's attracted to. And then number two, not just any woman, but a Lisa Ann or Stormy Daniels. So this implies he's very political. The second part is so that both wife and I can work against the industry and set up a marriage agency where we match sexy women with sexy men so that we can keep those women and men out of the industry. I'm against this guy's plan. The first question, what kind of standard of living does such a woman expect? And second, I haven't got a snowball's chance in the fire of hell of ever having my dream come true. Thanks and take care. P.S. You're Italian and I love you for that.
First of all, let's address the fact that this is not an item someone should be praying to God for. Okay, well, let's just tackle that.
Yeah, number one.
You pray to God for the health and well-being of your friends and family. I mean, look, when I see 11-11, I dead stop at my microwave and I just stare at it and make a list of all of my people that I interact with and that they're all healthy and happy. And like, I do this, if I see it once a day, twice a day, whatever I see, I stop my world. I don't pray for these types of things. So first of all, Tomas, I think that God has bigger plans for you and that this is not an appropriate situation. Second of all, the power to take a woman out of the porn industry. Why does everyone think they need to be Captain Save-A-Ho? Okay, many of us, we're doing something we like doing and we're making great money doing it without having to come home and deal with some mouth breather at the end of the day, which I'm going to assume Thomas is, okay? A mouth breather. Thomas, this is not an insult to you. This is just me answering your question. Second part is that we can have an agency to work against the industry. Well, let's just say, Dustin, this works. Let's say we get this going for a year. Now we dried up the well. Now there's going to be no girls left. How is this going to work? I mean, and also, these are the same people that feel that all of us want to be saved, right? But yet it's their own guilt that they're projecting because they watch such an ungodly amount of porn. Speaking of ungodly, this is the same guy that prays to God that he can marry one of two porn stars, me or Stormy Daniels, which Tomas, neither's happening. But the agency thing, like, first of all, the agencies in the industry would have this guy assassinated. You start
like legitimately?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? You start cherry picking earners away from the agencies. You're done. Okay. You can't run for the border. The border is waiting for you. Okay. Yeah. This guy would be no longer. He would be MIA super fast, quick in a hurry. But the fact that he wants to put so much hard work in to saving women would really ultimately, he just wants to marry a porn star.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with this. I mean, one, to want to take women out of the industry completely when he clearly loves the industry is a weird move.
Weird move. You'd have no more content. You'd be watching replays. You'd be like Netflix right now with no new content because of COVID. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's number one. Number two, I think a lot of guys think they want to marry a porn star until the opportunity comes to sleep with a porn star and they realize they're not adequate at all.
No. Just because
it's like,
how can you be?
It's like watching one of these NFL analysts that's great at breaking down quarterback film, Dan Orlovsky.
Okay.
Great at breaking down film.
Yeah.
I've never watched anyone better at it.
Okay.
He ran out of the back of the end zone. Legitimately one of the worst quarterbacks to ever start in the NFL. Like, he had no business being there. So you're great at watching it. Other people are great at doing it.
Yes, and I always said that, you know, male performers, it's kind of like the sexual Olympics, right? You get these guys that have incredible stamina, they're chiseled, they have endurance, they have everything that an athlete would have. And I always, like, when guys approach me about sex, I say, you know, I will ruin your sexual future forever because you will be so scarred at how quickly you fail. And I've seen it. I've been on set with new guys that, like, the second they're talking to me and we start to get naked, they've already done their business. And I'm like, well, am I still getting paid today? Even though nothing went down. So, and when he asks what kind of standard of living does such a woman expect, I would like to reverse this. I think Thomas should be praying to God for a shit ton of money because there's always a chance that one porn star will be born. It will not be me or Stormy Daniels. But another girl who's like, I want to throw the towel in. This guy's got enough money. I've seen it happen. I've seen girls in the business leave and marry a doctor who's not attractive, but he's wealthy. And now she just doesn't have to work. There's that.
Yeah. And then there's also the issue that your brain is now conditioned as an adult film star where sex is work. So every time you're now in a relationship and this is your wife, it feels like work.
So not so much for me, because I will say having sex in a room of people doing things versus having sex alone is very different. When there's not bright lights beaming on you, bland, it's so hot and you can't talk, you can't make any noises. Like at home, you got maybe your TV on. For me, like SportsCenter's on, you know, something's on in the background, or maybe music is on. Can't have any of that on set. Also, normally they go through the like protocols of like, okay, we need 4 minutes of reverse cowgirl, 4 minutes of doggy, 4 minutes of missionary, and we'd like to come on the face. You don't get that breakdown before you do a scene at home. So home sex is very different, but I'm pretty sure with Tomas, it would seem like work.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to have more than 4 minutes to do multiple positions with Tomas.
Wow, I didn't even consider that. You're so right. So what do you do then? Do you do each one for a minute? How do you handle? I don't know. But these are wonderful emails because it shows me the lack of curiosity in the world. I pitch it like, if you had the chance to interview me and you could ask me one question, what would it be? And it's always like, what does it cost to have sex with you? How can I marry you? Like, really? You're only thinking about you. You're only curious about yourself and how you can better your life. Also, remember, when you date me, every guy that walks by hands you their phone and says, can you take a picture of me, Lisa Ann? You have to deal with that.
Oh, that's a lot. It's an ego trip like that.
That's tough on dates. It's been tough on me on dates, man. It's so tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you, because you have no, I'm going to say the word wrong, but you know the word that I mean. Anonymity.
Done. Except with masks. So oh, it's true. Love masks. I'm never going back. By the way, 10 years from now, we'll be having this again. I'm still wearing a mask.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best thing for you. I mean, that's one thing I do notice, like walking in LA down the street, I'm always like, man, that girl's body's crazy. I wonder what her face looks like. And I'm just assuming she's hot. But I don't know. It could be a famous person. I don't know.
Well, we left a little cold right there. And let me explain to you why. Swede was so good when we were doing these questions that we were able to divide that mailbag into two segments because we both continued to elaborate. And we had a lot of time. So that cold out is for the reason. And if you didn't hear his first appearance, you can go back and listen to last week's podcast, listen to the other questions that he helped me with. I want to thank Antoine Staley for joining me today. Also, Swede, Dustin Swedelson, he is the best. Thank you all for your emails. And thank you to Christopher Tyler, my illustrious producer. You all know him as the Aussie sensation. And I pray for your soul that you don't have more torture this upcoming week in fantasy football. Everybody, thanks so much for listening to my podcast. Don't forget, you can listen on the SiriusXM app, Apple Podcasts, and subscribe, write a review, do what you do, send me an email at AskLisaAnn@gmail.com, and maybe we'll answer it on the podcast. Thanks for spending some time with me and listening to another episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.